ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 There's a special nice feeling about finishing a chapter. We're going to finish a chapter today. Yay! The four Kumaras are offering prayers to Lord Narayana at the gates of Vaikuntha. We heard yesterday. They were feeling very humbled. No control over the mind and senses, and who therefore speculate, and want to become one with the Lord. There's a few people out there like that. For the impersonalists and the so-called yogis, the Lord is always hidden by the curtain of yoga. Maya Bhagavad Gita says that even when Lord Krishna was seen by everyone, while he was present at the surface of the earth, the impersonalists and so-called yogis could not see him because they were devoid of devotional eyesight. The theory of the impersonalists and so-called yogis is, get ready, this is poison, that the Supreme Lord assumes a particular form when he comes in touch with Maya, although actually he has no form. This very conception of the impersonalists and so-called yogis check them from seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is. The Lord, therefore, is always beyond the sight of such non-devotees. The four sages felt so much obliged to the Lord that they offered their respectful obeisances unto Him again and again. And again, could we just have everybody move forward, because we're going to need the space in the back. Come forward, please. Thank you. We're friendly up here. It's nice. Okay. Matirna Krishne Paratakshvatova Mito Bipadyeta Grahakratanam. Heard that one before? Of course. I heard it three times yesterday with Prabhupada's recorded lectures. Prahlad Maharaj. Matirna Krishne. Now, Prahlad is a Vishnu Bhakta. Yes? He's a Vaikuntha Vasi. That's his state, his status, his character, his mood of love for the Supreme. It's a Vaikuntha mood. At the same time, and standing before him, this hasn't happened yet. Lord Srinadev comes to rescue him, but Krishna, Matir na Krishne. One cannot be Krishna conscious. Matir. Their mind cannot be absorbed in Krishna. Matir na Krishne. Paratak svatova mitobi padyeta grahakratanam. Because, there are three means or methods that one might, by one's effort, by the help of someone else, and by a gathering of elevated persons, a convention, a conference, a sangha, combination of those three, Matirna Krishne. Matirna Krishne, Paratak Svatova, Mitobi Padyeta, Grahak Vratanam. vrata, the vow, commitment, commitment to the temporary, represented in this case by the word griha, which means home, but home means the whole program of the temporary and all that follows it. You know, need a place to be absorbed in the temporary. So it can be wherever it may be. It can be a palace, it can be a home, it can be an apartment, it can be under a tree, but there's some place. Even the birds, they have their nest. The bees have their hive, and the ants have their place. Where I stay in Gita Nagari, I don't know if some of you have seen the place. It's from the temple side, behind the temple there's a hill, and up the hill and over the hill there's another, what was another farm, and now the farm has been subdivided and people live in houses up there. So it was a cleared field, and now it's, you know, a row of houses. So one of those houses is called the Institute House. Institute House meaning Bhakti Tirtha Swami disciples bought the house and wanted him to stay there in Gita Nagari, a place from which he conducted the Institute IFAST, Institute for Spiritual Technology. It was how to help people solve their material problems by spiritual solutions. That was his, like, vision or anthem or vision, mission statement. So the Institute House, if that's what it's called, has a big bay window. You know, windows. It's really nice. And then there's the valley, and then there's the farm, and then over there is another mountain. It's, you know, the vista is fantastic. And all this is to tell you, just outside the house, there's a little rise, a little bump, a little mound, and it's the home of some groundhogs. Now, you've heard of, in America, you've heard of Groundhog Day, but you've maybe never seen one. But if you go to the Institute House, you can see them. They have, their home is in the ground, that's why they're called groundhog, and they hibernate like a bear during the winter. They go down, and when it's not winter, they come up and look around, and if it's too cold, they go back down again and do more hibernation. Groundhog Day, right? So, in the morning, the distracted japa session for me is watching the groundhog come out, and the mama comes first. She stands on her hind legs and she looks around with her front paws like this, the radar system. They're in danger out there, and then after some time the little ones come out, and they start going foraging for stuff to eat, which you do when you're a groundhog. So they have their griha also. All of that was, the human form of life is not advanced because we have air conditioning and heaters, and our home looks like this. But it's the same thing, just a polished, Prabhupada calls it, polished animal life. Grihavrata. Persons who are attached to such things, doesn't mean you should trash it, but you're attached to such things. Like happiness is da-da-da-da. It should look like this, and it's never satisfying, so it has to look like that, and never satisfying. So those who are in that position, the Grihavrata personalities, they'll never become Krishna conscious. One has to let go of that mentality, that attachment to the enjoyer of the temporary. That's Krishna's position. It's his energy, and it's his energy means it's for him to enjoy. And if we have the opportunity to offer things to Krishna so Krishna will enjoy, He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need a leaf or fruit or a flower. He doesn't need our nice cooked preparations. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need incense and a ghee lamp. He doesn't need anything. The benefit goes to the person who's making the offering. And the offering is, when it's done not just mechanically, it's an offering of love. And by cultivating, even if it's initially mechanically, the potential is there to awaken love, not just duty, but one can become cleansed and become reminded or restored in the position of love. That's good for us. And then the reciprocation is commensurate with the offerings of love that we offer to Krishna. Then he becomes rightfully situated as the enjoyer of his Purusha, the enjoyer of his Prakriti. And we have a role to play. We offer what is already his to him with love and devotion. To such persons, Krishna reciprocates. Of course, Krishna reciprocates with every living entity, whether they do that or they don't do that. And he's equal to all, whatever their position is. He says so in Bhagavad Gita. Samoham sarvabhuteshu na me dvesho sti na priyaha. I don't have dvesha towards anyone. I don't have like an attitude. Nor do I consider anyone priya. Like, you know, oh, you're nice and you're bad. He's not like that. He reciprocates with our regard for him. It's hard for us to understand that because that's how we operate. So what's somebody that operates on a different platform? That's Vishnu. And for those who offer things, offer that which is Krishna's unto Krishna with love and devotion, he reciprocates with that mood too. They're a friend. They see him as their dearmost friend, and he sees them as his dear friend. He's just reciprocating with their affection for him. It's natural. Completely natural. It's not partiality. It's completely natural. Prabhupada gives this nice example. Supposing there's a mother and father, and they have multiple children. And they have affection for their multiple children. Very natural. And amongst the multiple children, one is particularly affectionate. And in reciprocation with that particularly affectionate child, they reciprocate with their particular affection. Natural. It's nothing unnatural. Nothing partial. And Krishna's like that. Where do we get that? It's from Krishna. In the perfect stage, no flaws, no contamination, no modes of nature, no karma, no us and them, no partiality. So the Kumaras are remarking, by your mercy alone, we made this offense. Even with that, by your mercy, here you are. And we're seeing your form. And we're understanding it's by your mercy that it's happened. We're feeling thrilled and very, very grateful. And so this is the bhakti principle. And then naturally so, our founder Acharya, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatya Desatarine, he is helping us be a little cautious or not fall into the trap of impersonalism, because the Supreme is a person. So it's fantastic. The Kumaras, Shukadeva Goswami also, previously were realized in the Brahman feature, and they left the Brahman feature to go beyond the Brahman feature, because that's what's beyond Brahman is Bhagavan. Or the rest and support, the pratishtha of Brahman is Krishna. Right in Bhagavad Gita, the last verse of chapter 14, the modes of nature is chapter 14. And then Krishna says that this modes of nature are resting in Brahman, and Brahman is resting in Krishna. He's the absolute truth in its final feature. So, unfortunately, the Kumaras are fortunate, but unfortunately, some persons, out of frustration with material existence and other motivators, fundamentally enmity or a negative regard towards the Bhagavan, towards the personality of Godhead, they wish to enter into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Often quoted, not in this case, but often quoted in this regard, is an important verse from Ishopanishad. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham. Mukham means face. So please remove the Hiranmaya, the dazzling effulgence. That's the Brahman. Please remove that glaring effulgence of your Brahman feature so we can see that face, the form of bliss. So the Kumaras are saying, yay! We're so kind. We're so fortunate. We're fully satisfied. And that's what's in the purport. The Brahman realization, it's certainly transcendentally better than attachment to the temporary. But it's not a position of full satisfaction. Aruya krichchena param padam tada patantyado. One will come down from that position because one has not taken shelter. Avishuddha buddhaya. One's intelligence has not become sufficiently purified to take shelter of the personal feature, and so that not sufficient sense of happiness, one comes back again to activity, because the natural state is activity. Why are we active? It's our natural state to be active. Souls are active. Well, what if you're not a soul? Well, that's an interesting proposition. We are a soul. But if you're a Buddhist, no soul. And if you're an impersonalist, no soul. What are you? If you're a Buddhist, you're nothing. And if you're an impersonalist, you're Brahman. What does Brahman do? Nothing. Just exist, sat. And the happiness is the mitigation of the misery, but that's not the positive, it's not sufficient positive happiness, so that one comes back down again. And then the Paramatma realization, the yogis. You know, yogis that can see the super soul, that's way up there. But their understanding of what it is that they're seeing has a whole range of what they're understanding. And if you're a follower of Patanjali Yoga, your understanding is you merge with Paramatma. You become Paramatma, one with Paramatma. And that's where this notion, it's one of the places where the notion of it's all one. It's right in his writings. He accepts the Paramatma. I was surprised when I came to understand that. He accepts Paramatma, and the goal is to become one with Paramatma. Gee, how's that? Well, that's the goal of yoga. Ask Patanjali. So if you're a follower of the Patanjali Yoga system, that's the goal. The purport is saying that's also not sufficient. It's there's a degree of happiness or spiritual pleasure to see the Supersoul, but then the personal feature is beyond that. And so the Kumaras are understanding, wow. And in the text it says, those that are not sufficiently intelligent, they don't understand this. I'll read it again. Your supreme eternal form cannot be seen by unfortunate, less intelligent persons. But we are so much satisfied in our mind and vision to see it. So where does the fortune come from? From the Kumaras, it came from Lord Brahma. One needs to be a recipient of good fortune to become fortunate. One receives bhakti from one who has bhakti. Then we become fortunate. That's transcendental fortune, not the other kind, the temporary material kind. Ashirvad. Please give your blessings that my daughter will find a nice husband. Please give your blessings that my mother who's ill gets over her illness. You know, common. I mean, it's nothing wrong with wishing that your mother gets over her illness, but that's not the good fortune. That's not the fullness of the benediction that Brahma gave to the Kumaras, and that consummated with their seeing the personality of Godhead face to face and interacting with him, seeing his form, the two things mentioned in previous verse, and the fragrance of his feet decorated by tulsi buds. We discussed tulsi the other day. Unfortunate and less intelligent. Anatmanam is the less intelligent word, and that's what's highlighted in the purport. The particular word used in this connection is anatmanam, signifies those who have no control over the mind and senses. There's atmanam and anatmanam. So to be intelligent, to be intelligent, there has to be control of the mind. A sign of intelligence is there's control of the mind. The other kind of intelligence, where the mind is not controlled, where one speculates, that's in the purport, that's an indicator of one is not intelligent. Intelligence directs the mind. So it works both ways. We make efforts to control the mind. That's meditation. In discussing the yoga system commonly in colleges, students don't know what yoga is other than asanas and pranayama, and that's yoga. What else is there? So when the picture opens up and it's a bigger picture, even the asanas and pranayama is part of a system that's all about meditation, fixing the mind on Vishnu. And for that matter, all the yoga systems require fixing the mind. Even material progress, you can't materially progress without the mind being somewhat controlled. So you've got a goal, get money. There's a goal. or become an Olympic athlete. So there's a goal. Or, you know, social and political activism, work towards gun control, or, you know, get somebody in position as a president besides Donald Trump. So there's a goal. And so mind becomes focused on the goal. And you marshal this and that. The intelligence drives that one. But it's, you know, the intelligence, the mind isn't steady. The material energy certainly isn't steady. And the intelligence is not steady. But it's natural to have a goal. So supposing your goal is the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna, then that's buddhi. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyantite. That's what real buddhi is, real intelligence is. So those are this grihavrata persons. They're not going to reach that because they're into the temporary and being the enjoyer of the temporary, and that's it. You know, if there's some piety in the picture, that's good. It just helps with the Grihavrata program. You accumulate piety so that you can prosper, dharma, artha, so that you can enjoy the temporary, kama. And then comes the moksha program. So the Kumaras, they were already in that impersonal moksha program. They were already there, and they went beyond it. This is the Bhagavatam's message. It's encouraging us to go beyond that conception. Because that conception, one more time, is less fortunate or unfortunate and less intelligent. Unfortunate because the place of shelter is blocked. There's some wrong conception that Krishna is a covered state of Brahman. And then when the covering is removed, like our covering is removed, voila. Krishna is Brahman, we're Brahman, we're all Brahman. There's no individual soul, there's no super soul, there's no, all there is Brahman. Homogeneous Brahman, that's all there is. Ta-da! And that's reality. Get used to it, propose, because that's the reality. All there is Brahman, there's nothing else. And that's the goal. So be happy, because that's reality. We had this little discussion at the program yesterday where one of the students had that idea. He got that idea from Google Guru. He was reading Google stuff. And, you know, it's not uncommon. It's common. Google's got everybody's attention. And the people that fill up Google are people that are speculators, commonly. It's not really a forum for disciplic succession. It's a forum for speculators, you know, and historians and people that have that disposition. Therefore, the devotees need to be proactive in, that is, join the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and propagate Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam's message. We have to live it, and we also have to propagate it or distribute it. Now, propagate has its negative connotations for some people. Hey, you're pushing your ideas on other people. We're giving an opportunity. And by the way, who isn't pushing ideas? The whole education system is idea pushing. Without going into it too much. There are things that are okay and there are things that are not okay in textbooks. And God's not okay. So we push the other one. And if God comes in the picture, we push it out. because that's the way it is. The intellectuals and the secular government, and you know, that's just the way it is. Too bad. And don't push another option, another perspective, because that's not okay. Anyway, I've got some problems with that policy. It's accelerating the degradation of our society in a systematic manner. Very unfortunate. Therefore, we require at all levels, Komara, Asharat, Pragyo, Dharman, Bhagavataniha, we require spiritual training and education for everyone. And, there's opposition, or it's like an example, swimming upstream in the Ganges. Even if you're a good swimmer, you end up going downstream because the current is fast. Even if you're a good swimmer, I've tried it. Got to be careful. You can just, you're swept away and see you later. People drown in the Ganges because of that. So the devotees that take bath in the Ganges in Mayapur, they're advised, don't go very deep because you could end up, you know, drowned. And it happens. Not just downstream, but you can end up drowning. So we have families. Families generally means there's children. And children mean they get exposed to the current that's moving downstream. So our families, parents, and the community have a wonderful service of helping their child navigate the swiftly moving current called parenting. And awakening dormant Krishna consciousness and giving resources and support, ideally through the community and, you know, the extended community, the Sangha of devotees here and there, to help that spirit soul reach Krishna in a rapidly accelerating Kali Yuga degradation program all around us. And it's not just in this country. It's Kali Yuga all over. So the Bhagavatam is specifically the medicine, the Vyasadeva inspired medicine, directed by Narada, further refining that medicine to be the antidote for that, the disease of Kali. Take shelter. Which you're all doing. That's why you're here. So any discussion? Chapter 15. Yes. Kind of a review.
About verse 47.
Regarding what?
And verse 47.
47, okay.
I remember in that purport and in that context, one of the form of achieving material liberation is the hankering for an association with Krishna.
That's okay.
In that context, it's characterized as a form of material liberation.
Well, so what's your question?
So, I was a little disturbed when I first read that, because I I see from within, it's also a will to be associated with Krishna.
Okay.
And this, it is so natural that I don't even think there's a hidden purpose behind that. And so when I read that for the first time, I felt a little bit discouraged.
So don't say it again. So you spoke quickly and I didn't catch it. The last part, not the whole thing. Just the last part.
The last part is I feel disturbed when reading that because I see some will.
Will?
Yes, from
will.
Within.
Volition.
Yes, I'm also willing to be associated in a sense.
Well, so what? What's the nature of the disturbance? I'll say something and see if this hits the target of what your disturbance is. What's wrong with wanting to be in the spiritual presence? Look at the Kumaras, they're saying how fortunate they are. So we're supposed to, are we supposed to not want that? Because if we want that, we're lesser than those that don't want that, so we should not want that. Is that it?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. A few things. That the highest position that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in Shikshastakam is, you can do with me whatever you like. Right? So, if my position is, I don't want you to do with me what you like, I want, here's my checklist of what I want. That's the statement. Now, should we want? Yes, we should want. If that's what Krishna wants. But if he wants, he cannot be present before me. That doesn't mean I don't want him to be present before me. I subordinate my will to his will. That's the message. I want, but if he wants, then I subordinate my will to what he wants.
So we're flexible.
Yes. It's a teaching that we want. You know, in the conditioned stage and in the liberated stage. So the conditioned stage, Prabhupada explains, in the beginning, it's really good. It's necessary that we want to go back to Godhead. We should want to leave behind the temporary and go to the eternal. We should want to be with Krishna. In the mature stage, Krishna can do with me whatever he likes. That doesn't mean in the liberated stage, I don't want to. This or that, I don't care. I want to, but if he wants, I subordinate that want to his want. That's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu position. What I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth, because Mama Janmani Jamani Shwari Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahaituki. Ahaituki. Haitu means cause. Causeless. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. Ahaituki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. So, like Prahlad says, you're the master, I'm the servant, there's nothing else between us. What else is there? There's nothing else. So certainly Prahlad wants to be, and certainly the Kumaras want to be, and certainly we should want to be, and that the perfected, the gopis want to be. the resident of Vrindavan want to be with Krishna, seeing Krishna in his presence. And sometimes he arranges something else. It's not like they lose, okay, whatever they want. But they subordinate their desire to his want. Okay. Yes, back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. A person who want to chant but they are unable to focus on the holy name.
When you're not able to focus on the holy name.
Yes, Maharaj. For a person, they want to chant, but they are unable to focus on the holy name.
Who's they? Speak for yourself.
No, Maharaj, it's not for me. I'm asking for someone else.
Well, you able to fix your mind, then you teach them how to fix their mind. It's for all of us.
Yes, Maharaj. But they are having difficulty. They want
not only
to chant.
They, you. That's
yes,
not
Maharaj.
Just they. I'm purposefully being speaking this way. I understand your question. There's someone who's seeking your support and help and guidance. But so you want to you're asking on their behalf.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay.
So.
But I want to edit.
Yes, Maharaj. Even me too. I too have the same problem.
Not just I have the right. It's a fact. It's a fact because if you were there. The response of this person who's asking would flow. We're not there.
My question is, Maharaj, because they feel very much agitated, is it okay to do some other forms of meditation?
Why? And the agitation will go away? Some other form? Why? What would be the reason?
Because they asked me this.
And I'm answering.
They told me this, Maharaj, because they are willing to do some other kind of meditation.
And I'm
but
responding.
With the holy name, they are unable to focus on it. That's what they told me. Then I...
Keep trying.
Okay.
Any other meditation is going to have the same issue, the restless mind, and focusing on something. Now, I'm speaking strongly. You know, a fallback position is, well, if you can't do that, do this. Chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita. If you can't do that, do this. If you can't do this, do the other thing. If you can't do the other thing, do another thing. But So I'm sticking to, there isn't a better. So you go to another form of meditation, it's the same restless mind, the same distraction. But if you can't do this, do that. The difficulty with that kind of response, depending upon the person, is that's where their faith goes. The problem is aversion to Krishna. It's not the process. Medical research shows, and other forms of research show, the most effective form of meditation is through sound. So someone can fix their mind more easily in a less effective system of meditation. If they can't do this, do that. That's a fallback. So, but there isn't a better. It's not only there's that you can. It's also you can reach the goal more directly instead of indirectly. But if the directly is something their spirit is just not willing, for whatever the reason, then okay. But it's not going to get you. Where you want to go. It's going to be less effective. So better to have the more effective Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I would suggest they step back, hit the pause button, and consider how they're going about and the resources they're bringing to mantra meditation, rather than another process of meditation, please. You know, the mood and the internal regard. Mood of service is directly recommended. Well, how do I do that? So there's always, anyway, do a refresh on how I'm going about it. Try, experiment this way, that way, the other way. There's many, 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 and find something that resonates and do that. Yes.
We know that our free will is acting with the soul's choices, which is a mix of both material and spiritual desires. So how to realize or how to awaken or understand Paramatma's guidance in relationship with our own free will?
Well, how to understand it?
Yes.
How to understand Paramatmas and guidance?
Yes.
In relation to our own free will?
Yes.
Well, it takes some purification to understand it. And it takes some, in the higher position, it takes devotion or wishing to be connected with. But, you know, that's a free will choice. So for you, or for anyone, the degree to which we have the tendency that we have for service can be connected to a service to Krishna, then the free will choice can be then more aligned. The weaker is the less aligned. So the more aligned, the more realization of that connection, or the link between the individual free will and super soul. He's broadcasting, hey, both within our heart, in Bhagavad Gita, his own words, through those representing him, hey, and we got another channel, the mind channel, the modes of nature and stuff channel. So the free will is directed over there instead of, it needs, the process is purification primarily through sound, and through sound and the practical activities that we do, directing them, resonating with that sound, in harmony with that sound, that instruction, that message. Okay? Okay. All the way in the back.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Maharaj, I have two questions. One is about the blessings.
Go ahead.
The blessings, knowing myself that I'm not, don't have the capacity to do something. So seeking for blessings for that purpose,
yes,
is...
We do that naturally anyway. And so it's just what the target is. So not just to do it nicely, and so that the connection with Krishna is more secure, more substantial.
So it depends on the mood.
Huh?
It depends on the mood when we are preaching for the blessings.
Yes. It's a relationship with Krishna. Our life is a relationship with Krishna. And things happen depending upon that relationship. Yayatam prapadyate.
Another one is as you're talking about Mother and Krishna, so I have a desire of that always thinking about Krishna and in every aspect in day-to-day life, know whatever I'm doing. But
the condition,
conditioned nature is so strong that even no, sometimes it so happens that no, the work has to be done, so you know, hurrying up and forgetting about no, keeping something in hearing and no, about Krishna.
Good.
while doing the work.
Good.
So I feel after that I feel so bad.
Why?
No, because I forgot to hear about. No, I'm just rushing to do the work. No, whatever I'm doing, but when I forget, in this meantime while I'm doing the work, I have a habit of hearing, but when I forget, I feel so bad about it that no, I feel that didn't happen as a service to Krishna.
That's good that you feel that. And that feeling that will be impetus to not just, you know, there's no problem with doing something swiftly, but it's learning the art of doing things swiftly with focus upon Krishna. So sometimes and sometimes. Sometimes it's more relaxed, sometimes it's more intense. The demand of our upon our time and our attentiveness. Sometimes it's easier to forget Krishna when you're more relaxed. Sometimes it's easier to remember Krishna when it's more intense. And sometimes it's more difficult to remember Krishna when it's more intense. We're focused on getting something done. So, to recognize that you were not mindful, that's good. And to not feel good about it, that's good. And then, don't stay there. Impetus to then go forward being mindful. Manmana. We cultivate. The power that helps or facilitates realignment to remembering is attachment to Krishna. We're not there yet. So, cultivate. Krishna should be pleased. That's anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. That's what saying the same thing in Sanskrit. Krishna should be pleased. And that will bring the remembrance of Krishna. Attachment to Krishna. Yes? It's natural. You're attached to your children. You think about them all the time because you're a mom. You know, the good fortune, ill fortune, you're thinking about them because you're attached to them. That's you're a good mother. And you're parenting will be more elevated by attachment to Krishna. So let me become attached to Krishna. That's good. And that you're not there yet. Okay, recognize it. It's good. If some regret is good, don't stay there. Go with, you know, the cultivation going forward. Continue and continue and continue and you'll get there. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.